It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Vary Show is on the air.
Episode of Star Trek aired. Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, the Hobbits, C-3PO, R2-D2. 55 years ago today. You know, I was thinking about 1983. I was 13 years old. I want you to think about where you were in 1983. So I would have been 7th grade. What about you, Ramon? You were 5? You were pooping on the backside of the TV. That's always going to be the best story about you. You tell your mom she can never outdo that story. That was quality sharing right there.
After she left, I looked for him. He was hiding behind the TV, pooping.
My goodness. I was 13 years old, 7th grade. And in 1983, I thought people who served in World War II were ancient. That was 38 years ago, right? It is now 38 years since 1983. Process that for a moment. Think about what you thought about your grandparents in 1983, or your parents, depending on your age. That's how long ago World War II was for us then, and 1983 is for you now. Wow. We're going to talk to Dr. Mary Bowden about COVID, ivermectin treatments, protocols, antibodies, testing procedures, and the like coming up in 20 minutes. But first, a very disturbing story. KPRC TV Channel 2 carried it. A 74-year-old Sugarland grandfather died with COVID. His family says he was denied the use of ivermectin, even though a VA doctor gave him a prescription, and they say that Memorial Hermann refused to allow use of the drug. His name is Pete Lopez. I can tell you I have been talking to doctors, and this story is making the rounds in the medical community.
We'll never know if this medication would have worked for him or not.
Gabrielle Snyder is in the process of making funeral arrangements for her grandfather, Pete Lopez, who recently celebrated his 74th birthday. He's seen here in this video taken last December. He died yesterday after a more than month-long battle with COVID-19. Lopez's family filed a suit over being able to use the drug ivermectin to treat his condition. And while Snyder claims another doctor from the VA approved it, Memorial Hermann would not. Court records don't reveal whether Lopez was vaccinated. I asked Snyder about it and she wouldn't answer, saying she believes that information is irrelevant to the level of care he received. She feels his death could have possibly been prevented.
A judge ruled in my family's favor to administer a prescription that my grandfather had already been prescribed. They refused to administer it, and My grandfather passed away yesterday.
Today, Snyder was joined outside of the hospital by a group of people who also believe in using the drug ivermectin to treat sick COVID-19 patients. Ivermectin is approved for animals and in specific doses for humans to get rid of parasites.
If they want to use ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, that's their choice.
Memorial Hermann says administering ivermectin goes against their doctor's clinical judgment and issued the following statement, which partly reads, quote, "It is important to note that physicians diagnose and treat patients consistent with best medical practices. Data currently available does not demonstrate that ivermectin is safe or effective against COVID-19 infection. Outside of ongoing clinical trials, the FDA, CDC, and WHO discourage the use of ivermectin as a treatment for COVID-19," end quote.
Sorry, we can't administer the ivermectin your doctor prescribed because it might kill him? What's the reason? There could be another side to this story. And Memorial Hermann better jump up and tell what that is. Now, I suppose you could hide behind a HIPAA claim and say, well, we can't release patient records or speak about a specific patient. Okay. Do you realize how bad this looks? Memorial Hermann is an esteemed medical institution. One of the most respected in the world. Most of my doctors are there. That institution is extraordinarily highly regarded. But this doesn't look good. It's one family. I suppose if there are more, they'll come forward. But the question becomes, why is it so important for the medical establishment to refuse the use of a particular drug? This isn't a 14-year-old who's bored. It's just, I'd really like to see, I was going to vape, but instead I'm going to try ivermectin. No, we don't think that's a good idea. To deny treatment for someone who's begging for it, I don't run a hospital system. I understand there are a lot of legal technicalities to the delivery of healthcare. I do grasp that. It's not always as simple as it seems. But when someone is clearly terminal, and if in fact a VA doctor gave him a prescription, it's not going to be that hard to track that doctor down. He's a combat veteran from Vietnam. These people are beloved. And now you've got family members, and every medical institution knows that when a family member is grieving the loss of their loved one, you'll stop at nothing. We're not always rational. When you're losing a loved one, you're blaming everybody. God, medicine, the hospital. But it does seem like, it does seem really odd why they're so determined. We'll take some calls. We've got some news stories. And Dr. Mary Bowden of Breathe MD will be our guest at 8:30 to talk about this.
This is the Michael Berry Show.
Girls from Georgia are sweeter than peaches. The ones from California are made for bathing suits and beaches. Minnesota gal, she'll feel like a sweater. But the girls from Texas are just a little bit better.
Mississippi's got all them Delta queens. Louisiana Cajun girls beat all I've ever seen. Ever kiss a girl from Kansas, you damn sure won't forget her.
Our president Joseph Robinette Biden said that by 2020, all electricity must have zero carbon emissions. He just said that. And we're in 2020 plus one.
We're going to deal with climate change and have zero emissions, net emissions by 2050. By 2020, make sure all our electricity is zero emissions. We're going to be able to do these things, but we've got to move.
You will never have zero emissions. You will never have zero COVID. Putting in place policies as if you believe you will is self-defeating. The Chinese couldn't beg us to be dumber. A judge who repeatedly grants multiple bonds to violent offenders who end up murder suspects is at it again. Credit Fox 26 is Randy Wallace.
In tonight's breaking bond report, a 20-year-old man who was free from jail on multiple bonds for violent crimes is now charged with committing a murder.
The district court judge who is responsible has a history of releasing defendants who go on to become murder suspects. Fox 26's Randy Wallace joining us live from downtown with the latest.
According to court documents, 230th Criminal District Court Judge Chris Morton has no problem releasing violent offenders on multiple felony or personal recognizance bonds. His decision to do that has cost several people their lives. Back in February, 20-year-old Jalen Deshaun Gibson appeared in the 230th Judge Chris Morton's court, charged with continuous violence against a family member.
You get a PR get-out-of-jail-free card for continuous family violence. Basically, he was beating up his ex-girlfriend.
6 weeks later, Gibson is back in front of Judge Chris Morton, charged with assaulting a pregnant woman. The DA's office asked Morton to revoke Gibson's PR bond. Morton had other plans.
Not only does he get a bond, he gets probably the lowest felony bond you can get, $20,000 for assault of a pregnant woman. $20,000 basically means $2,000 and you're out.
Now Gibson is charged with murder. Police say on Sunday he shot and killed his 37-year-old distant cousin, Sherrod Gibson.
We have a witness who heard two gunshots outside of her window. When she went outside, she saw a male that she knows from the area. Shot twice in the torso.
I wish I could say this was an anomaly, but it seems to be par for the course for this particular court.
In November of last year, we told you how Judge Chris Morton freed 30-year-old Jesus Gallegos five times from jail by granting him felony and PR bonds.
Five felony bonds in 1 year. A majority of those were for family violence.
Gallegos is now charged in the murder of his 43-year-old ex-girlfriend, Rita Acosta.
Rita was like a daughter to me.
Thomas Henry Mendez Sr. found his niece's body.
Her blanket was up to about right here, but uncovered her face. The whole bed was full of blood.
If Judge Chris Morton wouldn't have given Gallegos so many bonds, relatives say Rita Acosta would be alive today.
Anybody who's got that many bonds shouldn't be out.
Now, to all the judges like Morton who repeatedly free violent offenders, tell me one positive thing that's come from that, and I'll gladly do a report. Reporting live from downtown, Randy Wallace, Fox 26 News.
You remember Morton was that bloated, pasty Democrat judge. You got the story? And we not. I'm just not.
You mean during a global pandemic and a dip in the in our economy where crime is going up? Everywhere, not just where we're having bond reform or we're not able to have trials. No, I do not feel responsible for that, Mr. Ober.
Of course you don't, you fat bastard. I'd like every person who's released to have that fat bastard's home address. When it shows up on his doorstep, these guys are so callous and so disgusting. This is what you've ended up with. This is what we've ended up with Democrats in charge of the county. You're seeing a flight out of the county. Republic Grand Ranch couldn't pay for better publicity. They send me emails. You wouldn't believe how many people are coming out here. I got to get out. I never thought I'd leave town. I got to get out. I got to get out of Harris County. I got to get out of the city of Houston. I got to get away from those people. Everything they do is screwed up. Everything they do is wrong. Texas Democrat State Senator Juan Chuy Hinojosa says his community is completely overwhelmed by illegal aliens. Well, what do you expect? What do you expect? Everything these people do is wrong. Oh, but they're emotional. They care. We're racist and we're mean. See what you're getting? You see what you're getting? This is what happens when Democrats are in charge. It's only going to get worse. We're going to have Dr. Bowden on in just a moment. But first, Kevin and Alvin, go.
Hello?
Yep, go ahead, bud.
Michael, you there?
Yeah, you know, guys, be ready, okay? There's a bunch of people waiting. I don't have time for the give and take. Be on the phone. Be ready. Have it to your ear. I'm coming to you now. Anderson, Dan and Anderson, you're up. Go.
Yeah, Michael, I don't know where some of these doctors and some of these hospitals get this holier-than-thou attitude, because they know exactly what I'm about to tell you. According to WebMD.com, over 20% of all prescriptions written in the U.S. annually are off-label. That's tens of millions a year, and they write off-label prescriptions every day, and now all of a sudden, ivermectin isn't allowed to be written off-label.
Which it has been for years. You're exactly right. David in Utopia, Texas. Go.
Good morning. Didn't Trump have an executive order or something to that effect that patients who were close to expiring could try any experimental drug? And if so, what happened to it?
I don't know. I'm sure they let it lapse because they don't want to save you. The reason they want to know if you're vaccinated or not is they want to know whether you're a Trump supporter. Because if you're unvaccinated, the theory is you're a Trump supporter. But those numbers don't bear out. A lot of blacks are unvaccinated because they rightfully don't trust the government that infected black sharecroppers with syphilis up until 1972 when a whistleblower blew the story on this thing. John, go.
Yeah, Michael, I really enjoy your show. I wanted you to ask Dr. Bowden about something I think I heard Dr. Zelenko say, that hydrochloroquine and ivermectin were a gateway to allow zinc to get in and attack the COVID. And I haven't heard that anywhere else.
Zelenko said that, and it's been written other places that that hydroxychloroquine's actual function is to open the cell to receive the zinc. But I will ask her. Rick and Tomball, go.
Yeah, I'm a 76-year-old Vietnam veteran, thanks to Agent Orange. I've had 5 cancers, lung cancer, major surgery, radiation, ended up with a fever. The VA sent me to a urgent care clinic. They gave me ivermectin. After 2 days, the fever went down. I never had any serious symptoms. Everything's clear. I'm cool. I love ivermectin.
And I'm glad you're around to be here with us, Rick. Thank you, buddy. Thanks for sharing your story. Listen, I'm not an ivermectin proponent. I'm a proponent of patients getting every opportunity to save their lives and learning more and reading more. We'll have our doctor coming up in just a moment. Ramon, what do you get when you cross Speedy Gonzalez with the country singer? Arriba McIntyre.
If you can't say something nice, you can always say it on The Michael Barry Show.
Joe Rogan returned to his podcast and blasted CNN for claiming that he took horse dewormer. He said, look, it worked. I got healthier. I'm back.
I know, do you?
They're making up. They keep saying I'm taking horse dewormer. I literally got it from a doctor. It's an American company. Mm-hmm. They won the Nobel Prize in 2015 for use in human beings.
Yeah.
And CNN is saying I'm taking horse dewormer.
Yeah, what? So
they must know that that's a lie.
Well, there's a lot of people saying it.
Right, but a lot of people can say it.
Okay.
Like, yeah. The internet says it, who cares?
Sure.
But CNN is saying it. Like, Jim Acosta.
But I meant like USA Today, a few other places.
Yeah.
And they're talking about ivermectin, right?
Yeah. But what they didn't highlight is that I got better.
Yeah, you got better quickly.
They try to make it seem as if, like, I'm doing some wacky that's completely ineffective.
Right.
And CNN was saying that I'm a distributor of misinformation. But what's crazy is look how better I got.
Yeah.
I got better pretty quick.
Media didn't just lie about ivermectin overdoses in Oklahoma. The Associated Press forced to issue an embarrassing correction after pushing a story that went viral that claimed 70% of calls to the Mississippi Poison Control Center were from people who had ingested ivermectin. The truth is that it's about 2%. In an article published in late August about people taking ivermectin to try to treat COVID, the AP erroneously reported 70% of recent calls to the Mississippi Poison Control Center were from people who had ingested ivermectin to treat COVID-19. State epidemiologist Dr. Paul Beyer said Wednesday, that's not true. It's down about 2%. He said 70% were by people who had ingested the veterinary version of the medicine. Don't take horse medicine. Ivermectin is not a horse medicine. It's a human medicine. There is a separate drug that is a horse dewormer. Don't go out to the barn and take it. Mary Bowden is the doctor of record at BreatheMD. Dr. Bowden, what is all the fuss about ivermectin?
I honestly don't understand all the fuss. My heart goes out to Pete Lopez's family. I think that's a travesty. And I think, you know, it's an off-label use, but it's gotten blown way out of control. And, you know, I think you've said it very well with it's, yeah, as did Joe Rogan, it's won a Nobel Peace Prize. The people that created the drug won a Nobel Peace Prize. It's on the World Health Organization's list of most important medications. In these people that are saying, well, do no harm, there's not very much evidence at all that it's dangerous. It's just gotten out of control, and I think part of it is the medical establishment is inflexible and doesn't want to be told what to do. But you think about it, if one of these people is denying the drug to a dying patient, what they would do if one of their relatives were in the same situation, and I guarantee you, if they had a child that was dying of COVID, they would want that child to try the ivermectin if nothing else had worked. And it's just astounding to me that this kind of thing is happening.
What do you think is, well, first of all, you prescribe ivermectin?
Yes.
Okay. When, generally speaking, every case is different, when is ivermectin appropriate? What types of patient and at what point? Is this something you suggest people be taking before they're COVID positive or upon a positive? Is there a point at which it's too late to take it or that it does more harm than good?
I don't think there's any point at which it does more harm than good. I do think there's sort of this hysteria that everybody's got to get their hands on ivermectin, and that's a little bit much. But, I let the patient decide. We talk about it. It's researched. Most people have researched it before they come to talk to me and understand that it's off label. And as long as they understand that, I am completely fine letting them have their hands on it.
What do you explain it being off label? Layperson?
It's not, you know, every drug has specific indications for how it's to be used. Off-label means that this is something that has not specifically been approved by the FDA, and FDA approval is a very tedious, intricate process. So there are medications out there that doctors will prescribe that are not under the FDA guidelines, but still have been found to be efficacious, just haven't gone through all the rigmarole to have that proven.
What are some other examples of common off-label applications of drugs?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm trying to think of an ENT, what I would prescribe off-label. Let me think. I don't know off the top of my head. But as an ENT, it's less common because we do antibiotics, allergy medications. But, yeah, I have no qualms about ivermectin. And I let the, you know, power to the we have to give some power to patients. It's not a one-sided deal. It's a doctor. It's not. I think a lot of people maybe are worried about getting sued. Well, that's just a risk you're going to have to take as a doctor. That's just part of our profession. And yeah, I believe it's a discussion between the doctor and the patient, and not purely the doctor's decision. And as long as the doctor, as long as the patient is informed, then. Let them have it. I don't understand why this has become such an issue.
Stay right there. Mary Bowden, Breathe MD, at the corner of Richmond and Kirby. I want to ask you about the testing procedures, whether the PCR is as good a test as there has been some questions raised recently about that. I want to ask you about monoclonal antibodies, and I want to ask you what people can do to prepare themselves today for the eventual likelihood that they will be infected and how to fight it off. Coming up.
Michael Berry Show.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying.
Dr. Mary Bowden is the head of Breathe MD. Let's talk about testing procedures. I had a guy call in a few days ago, and he was quoting from the CDC site, and I think he was taking it out of context, but he said the PCR test is not as accurate, and the CDC has changed their opinion on that. Can you talk about the various tests that are done, how quickly we get the result, and the accuracy of them?
Yeah, the CDC thing is a little bit complicated and nothing that anybody needs to worry about. It's concerning differentiating the COVID from flu in this one particular way of testing, but it's not a widespread problem and really not anything anybody needs to worry about. The different tests, PCR, there's the rapid antigen. There's different ways of doing PCR. There's the saliva, there's the swab, and there's cycle threshold, which is a little bit complicated, but some of the bigger labs are known to have higher cycle thresholds, which is more likely to detect dead virus. So there's a higher risk of a false positive. The rapid antigen is a little less sensitive.
Okay, so that first one you were talking about, how is that, the spit or the little nose or
the PCR?
Yeah, that's the one they go in your nose, but not deep.
There's the brain tickler, and then, as you put it, but there's also saliva test.
Mm-hmm.
There's debate over which one is more accurate. We did our own internal study and found the saliva test to be more accurate, but not by a huge margin. So, you know, I think either method is perfectly fine. The one that we have in our office that is a rapid PCR, which means you get it back within a couple hours, that is a swab where you have to go to the very back. But the nice thing about it is it does test for multiple viruses, 18 mm-hmm. different viruses.
Mm-hmm.
So you know if you have flu or RSV or if there's some other issue going on, and also tests for three bacteria that can cause upper respiratory tract infections. The less rapid way takes, well, right now, there's with the surge, it's taking a day and a half, sometimes 2 days. And that's sent off to an outside lab. And
that's
we
precious
get back.
Time. I mean, 2 days is a long time if you think you might have it, right?
Well, if you think you might have it, you should just assume you have it until you know.
And do what?
And you and do it. I love the monoclonal antibodies, the Regeneron. We've been doing that.
Okay, so for people who don't know what that is, what is the application of that?
I'm trying to explain it. I know, but you got to let me talk.
Because you go off into a bunch of terms that people don't like otolaryngology, and it doesn't help anybody.
I have never said otolaryngology. That is all you.
The
Regeneron is monoclonal antibody. It's two different types. So in the prior surge, we had monoclonal antibodies, but we only had one. And so it wasn't as effective. This is a combination of two different ones, so it's better at it hitting the Delta variant. It can be given even if you don't have COVID, which is awesome. So if you suspect you have COVID or if you've been in close contact with somebody that has COVID, you can get it. And it's a one-time deal. It's either you can get three shots in your butt or you can get an IV. And the IV takes, you know, the infusion itself is only 10 cc's of medication, so it does not take long. And then you are, you know, and the earlier the better. I just put a thing on my blog about what we've done, over 600 people, and what people's responses are. And we only had 3% end up going to the ER after treatment. I mean, not because of the treatment, because the treatment failed. And
I'm glad you clarified.
And we have not seen bad serious reactions. The reactions we've seen are rash and pain or swelling at the injection site. Some people go on to have more severe COVID symptoms, which I think some people think that's from the monoclonal antibody infusion, which it's hard to say, but no one has had any kind of anaphylaxis or, you know, heart problems or anything like that that's concerning. And I feel like, you know, it's a safe treatment. It's supported by the medical establishment. It's not controversial, and we've seen great results.
So the monoclonal antibodies, you recommend only after a positive or
no?
When?
I think you should jump on it. If you think you have COVID and if you're waiting for a test and you have good reason, you've been exposed, you should get the monoclonal antibodies.
And how long are they good for?
90 days.
Okay, so then would you just come back in 90 days again?
Well, we'll have to see what the company says. That has not been talked about yet.
Is there any side effect? Why wouldn't you?
I don't see a reason why you couldn't. I just
How long has this been available? Why has this not come up yet?
So there is a little catch. You can't get the vaccine for 90 days afterwards. So I suspect that that's part of the reason, because, you know, it's interfering with vaccination.
Do you think that for a healthy person, monoclonal antibodies and no vaccine is better than a vaccine and no monoclonal antibodies?
That's a bad question, but
it's a great question.
I think the vaccine is an individual choice. I understand the people that are nervous about it.
So you don't want to answer, but that means I know what the answer is.
Well, hold on. Let me finish. I will just say, and I will say this, from our testing and from all the people that we're giving treatment to, these monoclonal antibodies, about half of these people have been vaccinated, which if this were the flu and half the people who got the flu shot were getting the flu, it would be, everybody would say, okay, the flu shot's not working. So I have been underwhelmed by the efficacy of the vaccine based on what I'm seeing in my clinic.
Say that line again.
I have been underwhelmed by the efficacy of the vaccine based on what I am seeing in my clinic.
Based on my personal experience, the vaccine is not the be-all, end-all that people think it is. Not to say it's not effective in most cases, but it's not the solution to all our problems. Fair?
Fair, yeah.
Okay. All right, hold on. Mary Bowden, can you stay with us?
Yeah.
You don't have to actually practice medicine, right? You can just talk to us.
Right. I have nothing better to do.
We're going to go ahead and swear you in under oath on this next segment. Hold on. Mary Bowden is at Breathe MD.